Well, for Republicans, the great 2018 blame game has begun. I have been there and done that, so it's time to raise the stakes in the Bob Davis podcast. We're going to talk about the future for Republicans and especially for politics in the United States in podcast 780, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, these days, businesses need to have a great payment processor. And if you are looking for a payment processor, listen up. If you're a developer and you're developing websites or back office stuff for businesses, listen up, because ReliaFund can work with developers and they can work with small business people to custom craft a solution for your company when it comes to payment processing. Credit card payments, checks, those types of things. Because when you have a great payment processor, you can get paid sooner and easier and more securely, and that is better business. And I found ReliaFund by doing a search online, found them at ReliaFund.com, and they are great. No long-term contracts. They're secure, technology-focused. I have a ReliaFund button on my page, and I've used it. 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. 866-243-5040. Or check them out online at ReliaFund.com. Now, if you call them, you're going to talk to human being, and that's especially useful if you're a developer or if you're a small business person. Ask for Greg Lowry or Kevin Hill. They're great guys, and they are standing by to help you. They're part of the payment processing revolution in this country. In fact, they were at the dawn of the payment processing revolution in this country because they've been doing this for 20 years. ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, ReliaFund.com, or click on that banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you've been listening to the Bob Davis podcast, you know that I went through in a series of several podcasts and discussed the toss-up races and the polls for House districts and Senate and gubernatorial races across the country. And in that, I laid out a potential path to victory for both Republicans and Democrats. And I gently suggested that the outcome did not have to lead to a widening Democratic Party victory and the loss of the House majority for the Republicans, but in fact, that is what has happened. Now the question is, what now what? And it's interesting to me how Republicans have now suddenly, everyone is, you know, commenting on what happened and how it happened. And people have said to me, you know, you've been kind of noncommittal and maybe you're hiding in the weeds. And so it is time to talk about politics. First of all, there is no need to be balanced in terms of making comments about Republicans or Democrats. I am certainly not a socialist or a democratic socialist. I don't identify with the Democratic Party. I have often said that the problem with both political parties is that sometimes one is right and the other is right, or they're both wrong, or they're both right, or one is right and the other one is wrong. And if you're too partisan, sometimes you miss solutions that come from the party you don't like, which actually are correct. So that's the caveat in this. But I'm not going to equalize every negative thing I say about Republicans to say something negative about Democrats. I'm just going to say what I think. So what we have now is a situation where the same people who told you Republicans were going to win, you know, literally win the House and hold the Senate and add to the Senate and so forth, are now telling you how to fix the Republican Party. And again, I didn't do that. I said, here's what the probabilities are and here's what the polls suggest. The rest is up to each of the political parties to get the vote out. And I submit, as I have before, that the so-called conservative coalition and by extension the Republican Party is actually dying in this country. In some ways, it is literally dying. Demographically, Republicans get older by the minute. And unfortunately, they are not adding younger demographics to their ranks. So the party itself, for lack of a better term, is also dying politically. Will it continue by name? Well, I don't know. Will it continue by brand? I don't know. Will it continue by policy? Couldn't say. But in terms of demographics and in terms of where it is headed, it is not headed to a bright future. Now, the seeds of this problem were already there before 2016. Most successful Republicans were moderates, basically big government conservatives is what they were actually called. Sometimes they were called big government Republicans. The whole basic idea was, hey, we're the adults in the room. Don't rock the boat. Work across the aisle. We're going to do things because we're really good at it. And so we're going to expand Medicare and Medicaid because we're going to take care of old folks and drug programs. But we're also going to work with businesses to solve business problems and education and all these other things. Their chief economic program was some kind of tax cut to advocate, especially at the congressional levels, and not above raising taxes when it made sense. And the justification was, we Republicans make government work better because we're just better at it, and we're quote-unquote conservatives. That's essentially the moderate playbook, which I could give you a long and involved history of the moderate playbook, but I have a paragraph here coming which pretty much explains it. So in terms of policy, what did it mean? Well, it resulted in the Bush administration, which was Medicare Part D, middle-class tax cuts, higher deficits, tax increases for some businesses, minor changes to the tax code, continued easy money, opposition to banking regulations, the Patriot Act, two wars, one of which is still going on 20 years later, no significant changes to immigration or trade policy, the continuation of a relatively interventionist liberal foreign policy based on human rights and anti-terror efforts, like unconditional support for Israel, among other things, free trade agreements like NAFTA, and the war on terror, I can't forget that, and little or no opposition to mercantilist trade policies by our trade partners, and most importantly, anti-abortion. Bottom line is, a Bush conservative is a far cry from get the government off the people's backs. The root of dissatisfaction with Republicans is this. The root of dissatisfaction with the Republican moderate majority at the beginning of the Obama presidency and through most of the Obama presidency was this idea that of a Bush conservative. And actually, Bush conservatism resulted in the election of Barack Obama to the presidency. So, and by the way, Democratic majorities to accompany him. Back in the day, so-called liberal Republicans were considered conservative as long as they were, as they put it then, strong on defense. And by the way, in the 1960s and 1970s and 1950s, Republicans, as you know, were coming off of a progressive vein from back before World War II, and they actually opposed U.S. involvement in World War II, and so the Republican ideas were progressive. So this is where the so-called liberal Republican came from, where you could be someone like a Durenberger of Minnesota or a Dirksen of Illinois. You could be considered a conservative as long as you were strong on defense. You add to that opponents of abortion and proponents of a weaker federal system in the late 1970s and early 1980s, and the so-called Reagan coalition was born as it survived to nearly 2016, although really not only until about 2000. And then the Republican moderate majority in the person of Speaker Paul Ryan, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Party Chairman Reinhold Richard Priebus made a deal with reality TV show star and New York developer and political upstart Donald Trump. At the expense of a convention floor fight and the potential nomination of Texas Senator Ted Cruz or the moderate Republican governor of Ohio, even John Kasich, among others, their desire for party unity and control resulted in the nomination of Trump as the Republican candidate for the U.S. presidency. The moderate leadership of the Republican Party blocked the convention from doing its work and very possibly sealed their fate right then. With Democrats, a primary fight between Democrat Socialist Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and former First Lady of New York Senator Hillary Clinton ended up with the convention fighting it out and eventually nominating moderate Hillary Clinton after Bernie Sanders withdrew. Clinton did not turn out to be a great candidate, and as everyone knows, Trump won narrow victories in key electoral states to win the presidency in 2016. Could other Republicans have beat Clinton? Very possibly. In fact, it was suggested that even Bernie Sanders could have beaten Trump. So right there, it gives you an idea that there is an issue with the actual candidate nominated by the Democrats, which I don't have time to go into in this podcast because we are really almost specifically talking about Republicans. Well, after Thanksgiving, it starts to get cold, and you ain't seen nothing yet if you live in Minneapolis-St. Paul, and we all know that. And of course, when things get cold, they start to break down. All my heating and plumbing problems, all my water heater problems, all my furnace problems have occurred during the winter, and particularly during that little stage of winter when it starts to get cold, and we're kind of getting into that. Now, of course, after December, you know, it gets really cold, and that's when these problems start. So when you have problems, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping these systems running right, whether it's at home or your business, you want this stuff to be fixed right when you have plumbing or heating problems. You want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You can call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, you call 612-927-6488. Ryan goes back four generations in good old St. Paul and Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Metro-wide, residential and business. So that means doesn't matter what part of the metro you're in. Shakopee, Burnsville, let's say St. Louis Park, Plymouth, Maple Grove, and on and on and on. Bethel, you know, all the way over to North St. Paul and Minneapolis North Side, East St. Paul and St. Paul itself, Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, all over town, they can get to you. So it's real important that if you need emergency service or if you need help, give them a call. If you're a customer of Ryan's, they give you top priority, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Here's the number again. You can call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 online at ryanplumbing.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So after a little dance through history, this is where we are today. A moderate and thin Republican Senate majority, a moderate Republican House minority, and a populist Republican president. On top of all that, a rather sizable Democrat majority in the House, in which pickups for Democrats were largely at the expense of moderate so-called liberal Republicans. I see the so-called national Republican majority fading quickly in the near future. Not only did the GOP lose the House, perhaps more significantly, it lost governorships and state houses across the country. In Minnesota, for example, despite two pickups for Congress, they lost two House seats and all statewide races and the House majority in Minnesota. This is kind of something that was repeated across the U.S. in at least seven or eight or nine states. Republican moderates didn't stand for much to begin with by 2016. It got worse in 2018, and as far as I can see, it is getting worse looking ahead. Now, let's talk a little bit about why that is, because on top of all that, then there is the president. Even with a Republican Congress, he was unable to accomplish much legislatively, which is why almost all his so-called accomplishments are related to executive orders, with one small exception of legislation on Dodd-Frank, the financial regulation in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. There have been no budget cuts. They have added over $1 trillion to the deficit in just 2 years. An immigration crisis is now brewing with no immigration reform and executive orders to put U.S. troops in the United States on the border. Executive actions had to be adjudicated in the courts, with some won or lost by the administration. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel about those, but all of them exploded into the national consciousness and created shards of policy ideas and reaction and, trouble. So the publicity gains that may have resulted from these things, in some cases, didn't result in policy gains or legislative gains, particularly in the area of tariffs. Short-term publicity gains resulted in slower economic activity. Above all this is a contentious environment punctuated by investigations, however misconceived, fights with the media and government figures, including former presidents and current chief justices, and a number of senior staff members hired and fired in a short period of time, and some genuinely ugly moments over the last year or two on both sides of the political spectrum. Meanwhile, Democrats have put a plan together. Now, you may not like the plan, but it is in fact a plan. National single-payer health insurance, free college, minimum guaranteed income, open borders, higher taxation for the rich. And what do the Republicans want? They want a wall on the border that they won't fund and wouldn't fund when they had a majority. Immigration reform they wouldn't pass when they had a majority, going back 2 or 3 years. More federal spending for the military. A failed, and even Republicans agree, terrible repeal of the Affordable Care Act called the skinny repeal. The passing of a tax bill not accompanied by reductions in federal spending. Billions added to the deficit, even with the supposed benefits of a corporate tax cut and tax code changes. And even higher receipts for the federal government with small business and increased revenues and everything else, it has had limited economic effect. What is the Republican foreign policy? What is the Republican economic policy? What is the Republican domestic policy? Where do Republicans stand on reducing the size and cost of the federal government system? What about privacy and technology, education, the environment, and most importantly, in terms of the recent election, medical insurance and medical care as it relates to pre-existing conditions and market-driven medical insurance and medical care systems? What about Social Security and Medicare, student loans and grants, and I could go on and on. Every single one of these policies, whether there was an initiative about it or a presidential thought about it, went nowhere because there was no legislative outreach by the executive branch and, moreover, no real plan to get anything done. So when it comes to the Republican plan, what you get are crickets. And I'm sorry if that makes people mad, but that is, in fact, the truth. And if you doubt me, let me just ask you. What is a Republican? Been asking this question for at least 10 years. Farmers who voted for a president who has enacted tariffs which threaten their survival. Small government folks who voted Republican because they wanted a return to sensible and business-oriented spending, and especially the repeal of Obamacare. What happened for them? People who wanted a new tax cut but got a so-called reform of the 1987 tax bill, which what it giveth, it taketh away somewhere. No flat tax, no consumer tax only, some simplification, but not really an overreaching reform of the tax code, which is what you would think a Republican majority would actually do. This is a Republican president, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate, and arguably a conservative Supreme Court. And now I'm going to say something controversial. And what I see are people calling themselves Republican who take extreme positions which will never become reality. And I'm not even talking about those serving in the House or Senate. I'm talking about people out there. First of all, there's a bunch of them who want a constitutional convention supposedly populated with only conservatives, whatever that is. This is the infamous Article 5 Constitution of the States, which is never going to happen, especially now that many Democrat governors have been elected in 7 or 8, 9 states. Removal of all Muslim immigrants, apparently including those who are actually American citizens, like it or not, and it doesn't matter where they're from. We're going to send them back there, even though they're still American citizens these days. Demands for returning power to the states, many of which are actually, like Minnesota, run by Democrat majorities, even Democrat monopolies over the years. And then demands for, and I'm sorry to say this, but this is what I hear when I go out, demands for Christian religious purity when it comes to educational curriculum and abortion laws, I'll say it softly, which they apparently do not see as the same thing as Sharia law because they are adamantly opposed to Sharia law. This is the actual Republican core in this country, and they don't like it when people point that out, but that's what I hear discussed at Republican meetings. On top of all that is a general willingness and desire to use government power for conservative purposes. And that usually takes the form of celebrating Trump's executive orders, which are an abuse of power. At least that's how Obama's executive orders were actually looked on as by the very same Republicans. And of course, none of these people can define what a conservative actually means. And I have a reason for that because I don't think – you'll hear it in a second. I won't even entertain a logical discussion of the whole white power, white nationalist thing because I think that is largely opinion, although it is out there and it is among the reasons why no one under 40 in this country can stomach being called a Republican, identifying with the Republican Party or the so-called Republican agenda, which in my view is non-existent. So if you want to know what's wrong, that's a short list of what is wrong, and we aren't even at the organizing point. So finally, we have the president, the head and symbol of the Republican Party. What does Donald Trump stand for? Well, I'm going to tell you, that is, you are very hard-pressed to be able to define with any degree of consistency what the president actually stands for, aside from America First or Make America Great, which is a slogan. What does it mean? I don't know. And he doesn't apparently either. Whatever he does or says is Republican by definition, because he is the head of the Republican Party. Free trade? Nope, no longer Republican. Spending less first and then taxing less, in other words, supply-side economics, not Republican anymore, because that's not what we're doing. We are cutting the budget. No, we are reducing taxes and increasing the budget, which is Keynesian. That is not supply side. And then you might say, ask the question, standing up for what's right in the world. Well, sometimes and sometimes not, and often it is fought out on Twitter. So it's not always consistent. Most of the time, a Republican today, whether it is a candidate, a serving member, or someone at a Republican meeting, comes down to simply being an anti-abortion Democrat and well past retirement age. They just don't realize that they are anti-abortion Democrats. So in other words, they are usually evangelist Christians, nothing wrong with that, against abortion, but their economic policies, their social policies in general, even though they're anti-abortion, tend to be collectivist. And so I would call them Democrats. And really, many of them are anti-abortion Democrats who became Republicans because they oppose abortion. Nothing wrong with that. Not passing a value judgment on that. I'm just simply saying, when it comes to a policy envelope, when it comes to ideas about how to govern the country or how to fix problems, you're talking to a bunch of people, if you're talking to Republicans, most of whom, they just simply are opposed to abortion. And their whole upbringing and mentality in general is Democrat and therefore collectivist most of the time versus, let's say, libertarian. Now, you could argue, and I often have, that the United States is already largely socialist for at least 70 years since the United States government, the federal government, controls the means of production through unelected several boards and officials nationally and locally like the Federal Reserve and unelected development councils in localities. For those of you listening in Minnesota, the Met Council, the largest and most expensive and complex of all of those local development agencies. Not to mention federal funds, states and localities have to qualify for grants and contracts let out to businesses that you have to comply. And all of this, of course, is paid for by excessive taxation of individuals and business, whether through the actual state and federal tax system or fees, fines, and compliance regulations, as I alluded to. If a conservative is someone who advocates for the status quo, then Democrats are conservatives too, as are Republicans. They support the status quo with qualifications, namely that Republicans are better at running the status quo. We're better at running the government, which really isn't a position. Even Trump's Republican populism or nationalist populism seeks to cobble together groups of disaffected farmers, workers, and poor, uneducated white people to support the expansion of government power through the enhancement of executive powers, something Republicans used to decry. If they won't do it, I'll do it. My job is to drain the swamp. I'm going to do this for you, except when he does something that you don't agree with, then you rue the day that we got rid of an elected Congress and an elected Senate that had a say in some of this stuff. Why can't he just appoint who he wants to the court? Well, because constitutionally, the U.S. Senate has the ability and the right to consult and help decide on things like the Supreme Court. And I could go on and on. So this is the situation. The status quo, despite the immediate and foolhardy media opposition to everything Trump says and does, actually, the media should be pleased because ultimately he is making their job much easier. The next Democrat president will have enhanced executive powers available, and there won't be any conservative arguments against it. I should say Republican arguments against it, because he'll just say, or she'll just say, well, Trump did the same thing. Someone who advocates for a much smaller federal system, someone who advocates significant reductions in regulation, state, local, and national, someone who advocates for more personal freedom, substantially more personal liberties, someone who advocates for personal privacy, and especially economic freedom, including free trade, is in fact a radical liberal, and they are on the left. They are not a right-wing conservative, and people cannot understand that. If you are a typical Republican, you are a conservative. And yes, you are on the right, but so are the Democrats. If you're a libertarian, if you are an advocate of a free and open system, if you are an advocate for liberty, whether you're registered Republican or a libertarian, you're on the left and you are a radical liberal. Because if you will notice, and you when you watch the news, read the news, whatever, you will note that anytime somebody advocates for actual liberty, they are decried on both sides of the political spectrum because no one understands the radical. And radicals are liberals today, and those are the libertarians, not the Democrats or the Republicans. How many Republicans do you know who actually advocate for those things? Not many. Republican moderates or so-called Trumpers, Trumpisms, have nothing to do with those things, virtually nothing. They have to do with national and racial identification. They have to do with closing the borders. They have to do with fear and loathing. They have to do with control. They have to do with executive power. They have to do with the cult of personality. Those things are not liberty oriented. How many people do you know that say that they're Republicans could actually function in an unregulated, non-governmental environment? Same with Democrats. Very few. So identification with President Trump, apparently essential to Republican victories such as they have been, is required. Meanwhile, we're in the dawning stages of a technical industrial revolution that is going to dwarf all other human ages in terms of impacts, social and economics, and we are vastly unprepared for it. And it is coming fast and faster and faster and faster every year. The rest of the world is economically and socially challenged and in big trouble, including Europe, and we're too busy turning inward to deal with it. Drug and alcohol addiction is shortening U.S. lifespans and lifespans in the West for the first time, for literally the first time. We have seen expanding lifespans for hundreds of years in the West, and for the first time, drug and alcohol addiction and poor health and overweight conditions and depression are shortening the lifespan. And many of the people who are dying are young. Our money is becoming worthless, if it isn't already worthless. More of our businesses, individuals, and even the government is living from debt. Debt of all kinds is exploding, which forces businesses to work with government to get what they need to stay in line. They call it adapting. It is tyranny. I don't hear any solutions from anybody to fixing sclerotic government agencies, from education to Social Security, same for immigration and border issues, or even for preserving the type of government that we have at the federal and state levels. Any ideas Republicans have for politically addressing these problems besides Twitter? Anybody? What is the philosophy of the Republican Party when it comes to privacy? What about having an orderly and lawful border plan with the support of Congress? Have we got that? Is there any possibility of having that? Or what about reducing spending and paying down the debt or the mandates of the Federal Reserve or solving the medical insurance issues? And these are way down the line. Nada. Because all Republicans can talk about is Trump, and that's all they're allowed to talk about. And that's all they can do is support Trump because he is the party standard, such as he is. And that is tearing the Republicans limb from limb. And now that he has lost the House, there will be no accomplishments for Donald Trump. There will be no budget cuts, no wall, no solutions, unless he decides to work with Democrats, which really isn't Republican, is it? Bottom line, in politics, something beats nothing. And in 2018, the Republicans had nothing. You may not have liked the Democratic plan, but they went out and sold a plan. And the Republicans had nothing. And guess what? They still have nothing. It can't be any more simply said than that. You want to fix it? Come up with something. So just this last weekend, we were celebrating, among other things, Black Friday. Monday, of course, is Cyber Monday. And over the weekend, we celebrated local businesses. And these days, so many things have become commodities that a local business, which is a real local business with real local people, is something that is unique. And often, you know, people are amazed at what they can get from great local businesses. They will say things like, I wish I would have known about this guy 10 years ago. And amazingly enough, this is what someone actually wrote recently about Johannken Jewelers in the Crystal Mall when it comes to the service that they get, because this is the kind of thing that is key when it comes to the important things in life, whether it's your wedding ring, getting you know, your great-grandfather's watch fixed up, getting your Rolex serviced, or making sure that the diamonds in your wife's wedding ring are secure. Let me tell you about Johannken Jewelers in the Crystal Mall, because they are amazing. First of all, they are the jeweler you can trust. They're in Crystal, Minnesota, in the same family since 1886. They're not a chain. Johannken's local family like the things that are most important to you. Johannken's is known for rebuilding and repairing crowns and settings to perfection. I've talked about it. They have a great selection of diamonds and gemstones. Any and all jewelry repairs, watch restoration, and service, especially for Rolexes. People don't realize they have to get the Rolex's services. They do that, and they have an amazing selection of vintage wristwatches and timepieces, which you have to see to believe. Now, Todd Johannken recently was saying to me, we also have a great selection of diamonds, and people don't realize, yes, you can look online for diamonds, yes, you can go to these huge retailers for diamonds, but this is the kind of place where we can really set you up with a nice stone that you're going to be proud of. So check out johannkenjewelers.net. That is their website, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Call them at 763-537-7233. That's 763-537-7233. They are at 115 Willow Bend in Crystal, in the Crystal Shopping Center there. And thanks again, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast, Johannken Jewelers. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business to make sure that everything is up and running. If you need help, if you need reliable service, call Ryan in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. For four generations, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Okay, it's tough to hear sometimes, but if you wanted to know what I think, there you go. I don't like either party, and I don't like where we're headed in this country. I think we have a lot of problems that aren't getting addressed, and I talk about it from time to time. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. But more importantly, if you want to have it be a little easier, subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes or right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And as always, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 780.